to say welcome to Union Church. Merry Christmas. All right. That's all right, Brother Joe. Wouldn't be the first time we messed that up. me either. I just want to say Merry Christmas again. It is a wonderful time of year to come into the Lord's house and remember that He did come. You know, recently, Elder Ricky Myers posed a question and asked a lot of folks what your favorite verse of the Bible is. There's a lot to choose from. I told him, I said, Matthew 1:21, and it's been read a lot the last few weeks in our services, but Matthew 1:21 says, "For she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." You know, I told Brother Ricky, I said, that's probably my favorite verse, but it has to go with John 19:30, where it says, it is finished. You know, it's not only that he came here to save his people from their sins, but at the end of that, that was finished. The job was done. The salvation was obtained by his precious sacrifice and the sacrifice he made on the cross. But you know, you read Matthew 1:21. And you find that's the purpose that the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came into this world. That's His purpose, brethren, but that's not why. That's not why He came. If you turn to 1 John, and we'll look at verse 9. It says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us. Because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him." You understand His purpose was to save us from our sins. But why? It's because He loved you. It was love. Love is why He came. Because He loved His people. He loved them so much that He gave His only begotten Son and sent Him into this old sinful world to die for me and you. And He came. And He saw, and He claimed those that were His, and He was victorious, and He did save them from their sins. It's because of love. That's why He came. The purpose was to save us from our sins, but why He did it is because He loved us. It's always important to remember that. Love conquers all. You know, long before John Lennon said that love is all you need, I want you to know the Lord Jesus Christ put it into practice. Love was all He needed. Love was all we needed. But that's not really what I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about that us. In verse 9 it says that the love of God toward us. I want to talk to you about who that us was. If you look at verse 14, John goes on to say that they saw. He says, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." Now He sent His love toward us. And in that verse it says He was the Savior of the world. It's important to know that there's different worlds. There's worlds in the Bible to understand. If you take that the Son was sent to be the Savior of this whole world, of all of mankind, of this whole natural world, you run into a lot of problems. Because I want you to know in Matthew 1:21, it says, "He shall save His people from the sins." Now, if He died for all of mankind, and He died for the whole world, and we believe in hell, and we believe that's occupied, if the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came to save the whole world, and some are in hell, then He didn't save everyone that He came to save, if this means this whole world, this whole natural kind, this whole natural world, the whole of mankind. You're going to run into some problems if you divide it that way. So I think it's important to know some things about the world, especially in this chapter they're just talking about. If you take that world in verse 14, but go back up, and you talk about the world it's talking about in verse 4. In verse 5, it says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them." Now, is that world the same world that's over in verse 14? I would say not. I don't think it could be. One, the world came to save, and this one's saying that we're not of that world. So it's important to know what world we're talking about, and that there's different worlds, different definitions of world in the Bible, and it's important to divide between the two. So it's important to know some things about this old world, this old natural world. If we turn back to John, and we'll go to chapter 18 of John. I'm going to go to verse 36. Jesus tells old Pilate some things about his kingdom here in this whole world. Y'all forgive me, I got a new Bible this morning. Maybe I shouldn't did that this Sunday. Work on that one a little bit. Verse 18, chapter 18, verse 36. Verse 36, Jesus answers, says, "My kingdom is not of this world." Now, let's understand something about this world. His kingdom is not of this world. "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Lord Savior's kingdom is not of this world. It's also important to understand that his kingdom's not of this world. So that tells me that his kingdom is of another world. It's of another world. Now also understand, if you go back and look at Luke chapter 1 and verse 33, when it talks, when the angel of the Lord comes to Mary and tells Mary that her son, the Lord Savior Jesus Christ, would reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom should have no end. So we understand that his kingdom is not of this world, but also that his kingdom should have no end. So if you deduce that, then his kingdom has to be of a world that has no end also. If we turn back to 2 Peter. And we start in verse 10. We'll start in verse 11. "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversations and godliness?" Now, you understand that this world, this natural world, is going to be burned up. In verse 10, it says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." This old earth, this old world is going to be burned up. It's going to be put an end. This world has an end. But his kingdom has no end. Therefore, his kingdom's in a world that has no end. Goes on to say, 12, that "Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, us, those servants that are also not of this world, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness." You know where righteousness dwells? Where the Lord Jesus Christ dwells. Where his kingdom is. Where his world is. I want you to know when the Lord Jesus Savior came down from up on high, He came down to this world to set at liberty, set free those that were His that were in this world, but not of this world. He didn't come to save this whole world. He came to save His world. And He did that. You know, if we go back to John, John says it a lot better than I can. In John 17, in verse 16, we'll start in verse 15. The Lord Jesus Christ, before He goes to the cross, says a prayer. He prays for His people. He says, I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but Thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. You understand, God's children, you're not of this world. This is not your home. We have a home. We have a world that God prepared for us, that He came down from. But I want you to know we were held captive here by sin. And He came forth to set us at liberty, to bring us back home. It says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through that truth. That word is truth. As Thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, for our sakes, I sanctify myself. He set Himself apart, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone. Not just these that He was talking to, not just His apostles that He was praying for, but also us. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word, that they all may be one as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me, His world, that they might believe that He sent Me. And the glory which Thou gavest Me I have given them, that they may be one even as We are one, I in them and Thou in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that Thou hast sent Me and hast loved them as Thou hast loved Me. Father, I will that they also, whom Thou hast given Me, be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory which Thou hast given Me. For Thou lovest Me before the foundation of the world. You understand that? He came to set us at liberty. We're not of this world, just as He is not of this world. The world that He came to save was not this old world. It was His world. His world that He prepared. And we're citizens of that world, chosen in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. And He sent His Son down here to attain us and liberate us from our sins, that we might be with Him one day. And that's His will and His desire of the Father, is that we would be where He is. You understand, this is not our home. This is not our home. This is not the world that He came to save. He came to save His world. You know, I put it to you like this. You know, about 3 days before the election, our president sent SEAL Team 6 over to Nigeria to save one man. His name was Philip Walton. And they went in over there into a foreign country. And they got Philip and they brought him home. Now, he didn't send SEAL Team 6 just to go over there and save anybody. We knew who he was. We knew his name. We had the power, we had the means to send forces over there, special forces, to go get one of our citizens of this country that was over there held captive by captive and bring him home. I tell you what, the Lord Jesus Christ, when He came to this world, it was the greatest special forces mission ever made. He came down from our country, from a far country that we're citizens of, that we were chosen in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. He sent His Son down here to liberate us from our sins. It says that's what He came to do. Over in Luke 4 and 18, He says, I came to set at liberty those that are bruised, to release captive, to provide deliverance for the captives. Don't you know we were held captive by sin? We couldn't go home. We were held hostage. But because God loved us, He sent His only begotten Son, that those citizens of that world that He loved might be saved, and that one day we can go back to that world that He has prepared for us. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ says here. He says, Father, I will that they also, whom Thou hast given Me, be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory which Thou hast given Me. For Thou lovest Me before the foundation of the world. Now, because He showed us that great love, What does the Lord Jesus Christ say? What does John tell us? Beloved, in verse 7 of chapter 4 of 1 John, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. You understand, if you experience love, if you love one another, it's because His Spirit is indwelled in you. And He shed His love. We love Him because He first loved us. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. This is the greatest blessed assurance you can have that you want to His. Over in verse 3 of John, chapter 1 John, it says, we know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. Because He first loved us, we love Him. Herein is love, in verse 10, not that we love God, but that He loved us. Why did He send His Son? Because He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins, the atonement. Because He loved us. Because He loved us. In verse 19, it says, we love Him because He first loved us. You know what brought me about studying this is I watched Sister Christine's message she had on Facebook before she passed. She instructed her children, grandchildren, just keep loving one another. You know, I could have just said that this morning, and it probably would have been a better sermon than what I've done. You know, I think about some of the greatest speeches I've ever heard were few words. Sister Christine left a great heritage. But I want you to know that instruction she gave, she didn't get from herself. She got from her Savior, her God. Just keep loving one another. Do you want to remember Jesus this Christmas season? You want to do what He'd have us do? Just keep loving one another. Galatians 5 and 14 says the whole law is fulfilled in this. Love thy neighbor. You know, if you love your neighbor, you won't covet, you won't steal, you won't lie. You know, I think that verse in Galatians was a foreshadowing. Because in Jesus' love, because of His sacrifice, the whole law was fulfilled. And we love one another. We show our love to God. It says we love Him because He first loved us. In verse 20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? You know, if you're going to say you love God, but you're still hating your brother, then you're a liar. And as I read that verse, you know, there's another way you could take that. You know, I believe a lot of people, a lot of families that are in turmoil and are hurt, they claim to hate one another. But I tell you what, I think you could reverse that and say they're lying. They say they love God and hate their brother. But you could also lie and say, I hate my brother. Now, I believe there's those that do love God and are in turmoil with their families right now and saying they hate their brother, but they don't really hate their brother. They might have been hurt by their brother. You think about this. When you hurt, you know, people I hate don't hurt me near as much as when somebody I love hurts me. So many families right now are so hurt, not because they hate their brother, but because they love him so much and can't believe that their brother that they love or their sister or their family member or their friend would have done that to them. Oh, if we would just keep on loving one another, if we would just forgive one another, this world would be a better place. Child of God, that's what we're supposed to do. You want to honor your Savior. You want to bless God, send Him into this world. He loved you. That's why He sent Him. We ought to love one another. Let's just keep on loving one another. I thank you for your good honor attention.